If you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Haggai. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with the lesser prophets, if you go to the New Testament, book of Matthew, and go left three books. All right? So the book of Matthew and go left three books. You'll come to the book of Haggai. Wonderful. Wonderful, magnificent book. The name Haggai is short for the Jewish word hag, which is not what you think it is. It's the word festival. That's the word festival. And I tell you what, our God is so good, amen? And today feels like festival time to me. In fact, if you have the Word of God, whether in digital or printed format, would you please hold up your Bibles all over the sanctuary? Digital, printed format, Bibles in the air, amen. Hallelujah. You're going to be at Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading from the Word of God, Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, I used to get questions back when I was in the children's pastor, and I got those questions all the time. Pastor Larry, how big is God? But I don't even get those questions just in children's ministry. I get those questions all the time from adults and other people. How big is God? And I wonder at times when people ask me that question, do they actually expect me to answer that? Are they actually looking for that answer? Because our God is immeasurable. And because He is immeasurable, that question is unanswerable. Our God is infinite, meaning He is limitless. And in everything that our great God does, He is infinite in that nature. He loves infinitely. He is righteous infinitely. He is holy infinitely. How big is infinite? Infinite has no beginning and no end. He is without measure. When we speak of the love of God, the Bible says that the love of God surpasses understanding. It cannot be measured. When we speak of the God of peace, it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Friends, and when we speak of the mind of God, you'll notice on the screen that we have the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. You are to have this emblazoned on your heart. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Who has known the mind of God? The answer is nobody. No one. Nada. Nish. Nine. Whatever the Creole word for that is. Amen? Our God is unknowable. He is unmeasurable. But while we will never be able to understand or fathom God because of His greatness, His infinitude, because of His grace, we can find Him. Amen. You see, our God is a God of grace. And we can find Him because He is revealed to us in the Word of God. And our God reveals Himself by many, many of His names. But He's revealed to us today by a name that He has given to Himself in today's text. It is Lord of Hosts, or in the Hebrew, Jehovah Sabaoth. Is also translated to be Lord Almighty. My God is almighty. Well, almighty in what? In all. My God is mighty. It speaks, when you say the word, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of Hosts, it speaks to the greatness of God. It speaks to the bigness of God. It speaks to the grandeur of God, the majesty of God, the power of God. In other words, He is the Lord of all. Crown Him Lord of all in your heart. Amen? Crown Him Lord of all in your life. He is the Lord of heaven. He is the Lord over the angels. He is the Lord over all people. He is the Lord over the earth and every other planet and every other place and all creation. He is Lord of all. And when you think of that, never forget that our God is infinite in all that He says, He does, or He is. He is an infinite God. He acts as He chooses to act. He does as He chooses to do. You see, David understood that when he went up against Goliath. Amen? You see, there he is on their side, on top of a hill, the Jewish nation. Over there across the valley on the other side is the Philistine army. And there stands Goliath, mocking them, calling out to them. Over 9 feet tall. His armor weighed 125 pounds. The tip of his spear weighed 10 pounds. Gigantic. There stands Goliath. Here stands a teenage shepherd boy with a slingshot. And the Bible says 5 stones. Have you ever thought about that? Well, he had a giant, Pastor Larry. And so David was going up there with these 5 stones to make sure he got him. No! No, 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 no. Everything about that statement is wrong. You see, what you don't learn unless you read all of God's Word is that Goliath had 4 brothers. And David says, I'm going up there and get them all. I'm not worried about this guy. When this big hunk of meatloaf falls, I'm going to go get the rest of them. You see, David was a teenager, and David looks at Goliath and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that comes against the armies of the Lord? You come to me with sword and spear and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Amen. Almighty God. Amen. David, friends, had the correct view of who his God was. He had the correct view. So question, do you want to know why everyone was afraid of Goliath? Let me share this with you. They were looking at Goliath and thinking, wow, look how big he is. Look how much bigger he is than I am. Look how much bigger he is than we are. But David looked at Goliath and says, look how small he is compared to my God. Because my God is a big God. My God is a mighty God. Everyone else was so afraid and were saying, Goliath is too big to hit. David was saying, ha! Look at that big nothing. The Lord of hosts is on my side. Therefore, Goliath is too big to miss. How can I possibly miss that big guy with this little rock? You see, he had the correct view of hosts. The Lord of hosts was on his side. So David went forth in the power of the Lord of hosts and he slew the giant Goliath. And he did it easily. The Bible doesn't record that it took long. David walked up, got that sling going, and planted one right in that guy's forehead. Now Haggai today gives us 3 things in a couple of verses we're going to look at about the Lord of hosts. Are you excited to learn how a little bit of how great our God is today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. First, write this down in your notes. First, He is the Lord of the heavens. My God is the Lord of heavens. Here in the book of Haggai, I want you to flip over to chapter 2, verse 6. You don't have to go far because Haggai is, as you may have noticed, 2 chapters. Chapter 2, verse 6. If you dare, say amen. Amen. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. Now skip down to verse 21 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I, this is the Lord speaking, will shake heaven and earth. Has the Lord Almighty ever shaken you to your foundation? Is your God that big? You see, friends, Haggai is saying that our great God is the Lord of the heavens. He is the Lord of the earth. He is the Lord of the sea. He is the Lord of the material universe. And here's why. God created it. Amen? Amen. It's His and He created it and it belongs to Him. And God declares himself simply and directly by saying, I am the Lord of the heavens. I am the Lord of the hosts. So let me ask you a question. When we think about the creation, when we think about the universe, when we think about the vastness of it, when we think about the microscopic things, how many books have been written by man trying to explain that all? Now think about it. How many thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of books have been written to explain that? How many words has man tried to use to fully explain the heavens and the earth? How many? God does it with 10 words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. End of statement. End of all explanations, friends. God created the heavens and the earth because our God is a great God. And David said, that's good enough for me. If you look on the screen, we have Psalm chapter 33, verse 6. Psalm 33, 6. By the word of the Lord. Think about that now. By the word of the Lord. The heavens and earth, the heavens were made. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. God did it. Look at the person sitting next to you. To your left and to your right. God did that. Tell me the Lord doesn't have a sense of humor. I mean, you look at me, Lord, you know, there's times in my life when I was rail thin. I know you guys think that was like back in 1950, but it was not. All right? There's times when the Lord has blessed me and made me larger. The Lord has given me Miss Ruth Ann. It's her fault. So she just said, don't go there. Listen, guys, he is the Lord of the heavens. By the word of his mouth, in the beginning, God said, let there be. Amen? Amen? In the beginning. And since God created the material universe, God controls the material universe. Philippians talks, Ephesians speaks, Colossians speaks in chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, that the Lord Jesus, all things were created by him and for him and of him and through him. And not only that, he holds all things together. Meaning the atoms of your body are held together by Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian goes through life and says, well, I'm good. The people that are not Christians go on, they're not too happy with that. That if the Lord Jesus simply relaxed his will, they would fly apart. See, he doesn't have to do anything to strike down the ungodly. He simply has to relax his will that holds them together. And they are as nothing. You see, and God does that with all the problems that faces his people. Amen? God simply does what God is going to do. And it comes to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, I love that concept. And since God created the material universe, God controls the material universe, and God does as God wills. Now think quickly, carefully about what I just said. God controls everything. But while he controls the vastness of the universe, the planets, the moons, the galaxies, the stars in the heavens, at the same time, the very hairs of your head are numbered. A sparrow falls, and not a sparrow falls, not a blade of grass grows without his permission. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 again. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea, and the dry land. Meaning that the time is coming. The time is coming, friends, where everything that we are used to will be shaken by God. Everything the world thinks that they have will be shaken by God. Listen, friends, the scripture says that the Lord stretched out the heavens like a curtain, and he's going to roll them up like a scroll someday. And it's going to happen when he wills. The book of Hebrews explains why that is. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, this is up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 and verse 27. Whose voice, speaking of the Lord, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What does that mean? Leave that up there. The things that are being shaken, all things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Everything that you count on can be shaken. Everything that you think that you have done can be shaken. Your bank account, your citizenship, your health. Friends, everything that is not nailed down with the nail of grace, with the hammer of God's Word, is going to be shaken out of place in His judgment. All that will remain that stands true is your faith in the living God.
Amen.
That is all that will remain. Bank accounts, gold, silver, earrings, all that stuff will be gone. You'll be walking the streets of gold, looking at the walls of diamonds, eating the most delicious food you ever imagined, and it doesn't have any calories in it. And all of us mature Christians say, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Friends, listen to me. God uses us. God uses things to frighten us as well. Okay? He uses things to frighten us like He would use any other tool. What am I talking about? You ever thought about earthquakes? What can you do with an earthquake? Nothing, right? Grab hold. But I'm amazed at how often God used earthquakes when He did something great in Scripture. Earthquakes. When He gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, there was an earthquake and the earth shook in a mighty way. When Jesus died on the cross, there was an earthquake. When Jesus arose from the grave, there was an earthquake. On the day of Pentecost, there was an earthquake. Each of those events were followed by God shaking the earth. And the Bible teaches us when Jesus comes back, He will sit down on the Mount of Olives, one foot on one side, one foot on the other side, and the Lord Almighty and the mighty earthquake will split it in two. He will split that mountain right down the center. You see, biblically speaking, earthquakes are God's amens. Earthquakes are God's way of saying, pay attention, for I am the Lord and there is no other. Friends, He's the Lord of heavens. He's the one who creates it. He's the one that controls it. And He is the one who consummates it. Amen? One day the Lord Jesus is coming back and the Lord will shake the foundation of this world. And the way that they will know is they will look around and you won't be there. Hallelujah. And they'll be going, you know, Shirley told me I needed the Lord. Yolette told me I needed the Lord Jesus in my life. The prayer team said that they've been praying for me. So first, we see that He is the Lord of the heavens. Oh, but now here comes another great one. He is also the Lord of the harvest. Our God is the Lord of the harvest. That's point number two today. And you should have it up on the screen. Let me ask you this. If you have your Bibles there in chapter 1, say amen. I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. If you're there, in a paper Bible, say amen. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? You know, I am so proud that even though it wasn't ours, that we have come week by week for years and treated this as the house of the Lord. We've done the best we could possibly do. Amen? Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. All right, Lord, you're meddling right there. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Ever wondered where'd my money go? You ever run out of money before you run out of week? Can I get a testimony? It's like you put your money in a bag with holes in it. Amen? It's right there in the passage. You know, the Hebrews at this time, they had been taken into captivity into Babylon. They'd been there 70 years working and investing and doing things and had nothing to show for it. But they cried out to God. And God brought them back to their land. They brought him back to a place where they would be able to build his house. God gave them the things that they needed. God gave them a plan, which is his plan. Amen. Pastor Larry, I'm searching for the will of the Lord. Did you read your Bible? Yeah, in church last Sunday. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking day by day. Because you'll find God's will right in there. Amen. God gave them a plan, and God said to them as they returned to Israel under the guidance of Zerubbabel, there were three returns to Israel. God says, here's the plan. I want you to go to work for me. And they went to work for themselves. They had forgotten the Word of God. They had forgotten God brought them out of captivity. They had forgotten how good God was and what God had given them. Friends, I hope that as we move from this sanctuary to the new place that we're going, that we don't forget who did that. Amen. That we don't forget that that is God's house. Amen. And now the things that we've been wanting to invest in, we can. And that we're going to go build up God's house first. Amen? Amen. God's house. You know, I wasn't even in my notes, Miss Marianne. I know you know that, but I'm back on my notes right now. They had forgotten the Word of God. And matter of fact, they grumbled about it. They grumbled about it, you know. And rather than being humbly grateful, they were grumbly hateful. I'm going to say that again just in case you didn't get it. I worked on that for like an hour. All right, that's one of those things I worked on to get it just right. You guys didn't seem all that impressed. Rather than being humbly grateful, they were grumbly hateful. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now look at verse 9, friends. Look at verse 9 in chapter 1. He said, you looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of what? My house that is in ruins. While every one of you runs to his what? Own house. You see, God is a God of grace and mercy. He is a generous God. But when He gives you something, He expects you to take care of it. He expects you to build on it, to improve on it. God is saying here, you were expecting a lot. You received a little. And I made sure even that little did not last long. Why? Because you got busy with your things and you're not busy with my things. Friends, I am not the type of leader that micromanages. I do not do that. I have ministry leaders. I expect them to lead their ministry. But we have requirements in every ministry, and they are all the same. Every single one of them. First, everything will begin and end with prayer. Second, everything will begin and end with the Word of God. And what is the focus? The focus is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We preach in this service for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We teach our children for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do our greeting, our prayer team, our lights, our praise team, all for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we want more people in heaven, not less. We don't have an exclusionary club. We want everybody in there. Our God is a big God. Our God is a great God, and He wants people in His heaven. Amen? Amen. Verse 10. Therefore, the heavens above you withheld the dew, and the earth withholds, that means at that time, its fruit. Question, how could the God of love do that? If my God is a God of love, how could He withhold those things after He's brought us back? Here's why. To prove it is God that provides all things. What did Nebuchadnezzar do that got him in trouble? He walked the ramparts of Babylon saying, look what I have done by my great hand and by my great deeds. While the words were yet in his mouth, the Lord struck him down. He went insane and lived in the fields for 7 years, eating grass like an animal. Until Daniel chapter 4 reads, and then I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto the heavens from whence the Lord is. And I recognize that the Lord of hosts is a great God. And my sanity returned to me. Friends, we are going to recognize God has done all of this. We are going to glorify God. And we are going to put God's house in order. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm getting all excited now. I feel like preaching. See, friends, God provides all things. He can start it. And if you're disobedient, He can end it in a flash. He can do that. You know what? Let's think about America for a moment. Let's just think about that for just a second. So far, we have proven that Americans cannot handle blessings, because we completely forget that it is God Almighty that gives the blessing. Amen. Everything in this country comes from the good hands of the Lord. There is, listen friends, there is no president that's the answer to America's problem. There is no government, there is no political party that is the answer to America's problems. The only answer is to remember God. If my people who are called by my name will turn from their sinful ways and come to me, then I will remember them. And I will bless their land. You see, friends, what am I getting at, Living Hope Church? Pay attention. I want everybody looking up here. This is important. God is blessing us in our current merger. God is blessing us. We ask the Lord for a building of our own. God has given us seven. Have you ever thought that seven is the number of perfection? Seven is the number of the Lord Almighty. We ask for a couple of Sunday school classrooms. God has given us 10. In fact, our great God has exceedingly and abundantly blessed us beyond all we ever hoped, all we ever imagined, all we ever even asked for. Amen? That's a good spot to be in. That's a good spot for an amen in God's house. Amen? Listen, God deserves praise in His house for what He has done. And think of what God is bringing us out of, Living Hope. Think of where He's bringing us out from. But first, let's get back to our text. I could preach for all day on that, of what God has brought us out of. Think back to when God brought Israel out of bondage, when He brought them out of bondage in Egypt. You with me? Say amen. Amen. Who provided the plagues that Pharaoh finally just said, that's it, y'all go? Who provided those plagues? God did. Who provided the pillar of fire to protect them? God did. Who provided the cloud to guide them by? God did. Who split the Red Sea in half and allowed them to walk through? God did. Who let the Red Sea go back and cover up Pharaoh's army to protect them? God did. You see, God clearly laid out what He would do, how He would guide them, how He would protect them as they made their way to the promised land. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. And at no place in the Bible, at no place in the Word of God, at no commentary do I ever remember seeing ever anyone asking, how far is it to go there? How long will this... Well, they walked back then. How long will this walk be? How far will this drive be? God had provided and they went. Amen? God had provided. Listen, guys. Because He is the Lord of the heavens, He is going to shake everything in your life. He's going to shake everything in all of our lives. He's going to shake you to the foundation so that you will know truly that He is the Lord. Then you have an option. You can follow Him where He's clearly calling you to go, or you can be disobedient. Now, don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm not saying that He's clearly calling you to go with us down there. That's not what I'm saying. Wherever God is clearly calling you to go, you will never see this pastor stopping that. Amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. All right. Because He is going to shake everything. He's the Lord of the harvest. And He will prosper who He will prosper. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. So He is the Lord of the heavens. He is the Lord of the harvest. And hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He is the Lord of history as well. All right. All you Christians in here that grew up in the church or wherever you came from, how many of us have a history? And I'll pray for the rest of you fibbers. Let's try that again. How many of us in here have a history? There we go. We all have a history. I like to refer to those times as when I was working on my testimony. Friends, God has everything under control, including history. The past, the present, and the future history. God is in control. We serve a big God. He is the Lord Almighty. In chapter 2, verse 6, Picking it up there. If you're there, say amen. For thus says the Lord of hosts once more, it is a little while. I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. That translation there is actually a poor translation. That word there is actually the desired, put a D on the end of that, of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory. Hey guys, we want the Lord to fill the temple with glory? Hallelujah. Says the Lord of hosts. Why? Because the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. When we give our offering, I ask so often, how much of everything that we have belongs to the Lord? All of it. What is His? The silver is His. The gold is His. And here's what God is saying, friends. I have a plan. And whether the nations want to cooperate or not, it's my plan. Whether you want to cooperate or not, this is my plan. And this is what we're going to do. And he says, God says, my plan is going to be fulfilled and my house is going to be built, or I'll find somebody else to do it. That's what the Lord says. Why? Because the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And if you won't use your silver and your gold for my glory, I'll find somebody who will. Or I'll use yours anyway and allow to put your money in a bag full of holes. It got quiet in here. But all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Listen, guys, it's never a lack of resources, amen, that causes God's house not to be built. God has never stopped because of a lack of resources. He has and owns it all. It may be stopped because of a lack of faith. It may be stopped because of a lack of sacrifice with God's people, but it is never a lack of God's resources. Don't ever forget that the same God that took two fish and five barley cakes and fed 5,000 is still on the throne. Amen. It all belongs to God. And God will give it to His people. When His people have been faithful and they've trusted Him, because everything is His. Listen to me. You may not get this right away, but there is no bankruptcy in heaven. There's no recession in heaven. And God is not worried. He's not worried a bit. Amen? Friends, we have trusted God now for 16 years. Did you realize that? 16 years that Living Hope has been on the move. 16 years, 2002. And we've been faithful, I believe. We've trusted the Lord. We've trusted Him week by week. Amen? You know, the United Nations may call an emergency meeting when things get a little dicey. But the Trinity never does. Because God knows what He's doing. The solution to every problem is found with these words, but God. But God. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. God is God and our God does as He wills. He is a great God. He's the Lord of the heavens. He is a great God. He's the Lord of the harvest. He is a great God. He is the Lord of history. And one day soon, up in His heaven, God will look at His Son, Jesus Christ, and say, go get my children and bring them home. Go get my children and bring them home. Brother Cliff has labored long enough. Go get him and bring him home. Marcia is going to be right there. Bring her along too. And his children. Go get Miss Earlene. Bring her home. Go get my children. Bring them home. Amen? You see, I need to share something with you. And you're going to say, Pastor Larry, this message has been a little on the short side. That's because I knew right about there if I got wound up, we'd be here for quite a few hours. I want to share something to you. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go to heaven. Your salvation cannot be taken from you. You can't throw it away. It can't be folded, spindled, or mutilated. You are eternally saved. You are the redeemed of God. But you can only get to heaven if you belong to God. That is the only way. And for those that have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, here's the good part. I know you've been waiting for this whole sermon for me to get to the good part. The Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord God Almighty, wants you in His heaven. Amen. He wants you in His heaven. He wants you there. God loves you. And He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God said that. How do I know that you're eternally saved? Because it says right there in John 3:16, everlasting life. That's eternal life. You cannot lose your salvation. And some will say, okay, what do I need to do? Well, what's the steps? I know there's usually like a 10 or 12 step plan. God says, no, there's not a 10 or 12 step plan. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, where does it say that? Well, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, see your faces here. Some of you already know that. I imagine your faces through the internet as you're listening to that. Wait a minute, preacher. Do you mean to tell me that the Lord of hosts, the God of all creation, the great I Am, will come live in my heart? Yes, because He is the Lord of the great and the small. Our God is big enough to create and rule the universe. Amen? And our God is small enough to come live in your heart. Friends, it is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, what He's done for me, He can do for you. And that's an amazing God that we serve. And this God sent Jesus Christ His Son, Jesus, into the world to die upon the cross, so that you, through faith in His great name, may have forgiveness of your sin and everlasting life. Where? In heaven, with the Lord of hosts, Lord God Almighty. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.